Oh, dude, I have fun trivia about the Three's Company theme. I got kind of obsessed with listening for secret messages and songs, like when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
So I'd take things and I would reverse them and listen to the songs backwards.
Yeah.
And the Three's Company song, if you reverse it, I shit you not, it says, "You can get with me, you can get with me, not with a condom on." I shit you not. Do it, throw it into any audio clip, play that song backwards, and it's just like, "You could get with me, you could get with me, no other condom on." It's bizarre.
Okay, we need that for the show.
Dude, I shit you not, it's in there. It's mind-blowing.
These are the days I know, these are the days I know. These are the days I know, these are the days I know. Some of them are Davids,
but most of us are Daves.
They all have their own hands, but they come from different moms.
Welcome to Dave, Episode 3. This week, the 1993 comedy classic, Dave.
We are the Daves he knows, we are the Daves he knows.
These are the Daves I know,
we are the Daves he knows.
You know, these are the Daves.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Dave. I'm the Green Korean.
I'm Octopus Caveman.
So I found out something this week that blew my mind, and I'm really embarrassed that we didn't do our homework and find out beforehand, but there is a Dave network in the UK.
What?
It's like a TV station, yeah.
No way.
Like, we have ABC, CBS. They have a Dave.
Oh, man. That's either going to be really good for us or really bad for us.
Okay. I had no idea. And then I found out that the Follow That Dave that we did last week,
yeah,
them. I didn't know that Join _ Dave was them.
No way.
Yeah.
Join Dave is the Dave Network?
Yes.
Oh, dude. God, like, I do a podcast with Tracy Morgan, who's in Shrewsbury. She didn't tell me shit about this. She probably has the Dave Network, and she didn't say anything about this.
Ask her. Seriously. How does she not know, or how does she not bring it up?
I don't know. Like, I'm kind of mad at her for not telling me, oh, like the TV network, Dave?
Here's what's cool about the Dave Network. They have a show called Hoff the Record, starring David Hasselhoff.
No way. Is it like a reality show?
It's a mockumentary where he plays David Hasselhoff trying to revive his career.
That's kind of awesome.
So one of these Daves, we have to cover the
one
Dave
of these TV. Daves.
We have to cover the Dave TV network and Hoff the Record.
Oh, we totally do. I got to watch some of those. Are all their shows on the network starring or about a Dave? Like, did we just accidentally steal this idea from a British TV show?
No, they got a bunch of other cool shows too. Yeah.
They've got Coulier Your Jets, which is a mockumentary about Dave Coulier. And Dave's Follies, starring Dave Foley.
See, if they were smart, that'd be the way to go. See, that's where we one up them. Our show was exclusively about Dave.
Nobody should give us a TV network to run.
So that's one of the exciting things that I found out this week. Here's the other thing that I kicked myself over that happened this week. How did you and I not celebrate Cinco de Mayo?
Oh,
how the hell did we miss that?
Oh, man, I'm so stoked. Next year we have to do a Cinco de Mayo episode.
Seriously, how did we miss that? I feel so stupid.
Oh, man.
That's got to become the show's national holiday.
It has to be. Let's find out when Devo de los Muertos is.
So I did look that up, and some dude does have that Twitter handle, Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, man, that's funny. He's got to be our Follow That Dave this week.
Oh, I got a good one. I got one to challenge you with. Do you have a good day for the Dave off?
I keep finding like the world's creepiest Daves.
That's okay. I got a creepy Dave too.
Okay. We got some creepy Daves to do.
Sweet. Okay, so we're going to have a great Dave off this. The first one. We finally got to the Dave off. anything else happened to you this week?
Dude, just today, a little bird flew into my office. Like a little sparrow just flew in the door to my office and then underneath the desks. And like, it took me like 10 minutes to find this little thing. Huh. And like, I was grabbing him and he was like cheeping at me, just like, meep, cheep, cheep. It was ridiculous. It's not even like a fun story, but like, it's crazy that it happened. The little thing flew in. I finally grabbed it and I took a picture of it with my phone because he just looked so pissed that I caught him. Yeah, I've had just a gnarly week, man. I was looking forward to this to talk about some Dave's.
You know, something else that I did this week? I cut the cord. I canceled my cable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Feels good, doesn't it?
No.
No?
I'm going through cable withdrawals, man.
You know what? I did that about 3 years ago now, and it feels great.
Man. Okay, here's what I find so funny about cutting the cord. So we've been wanting to do it for a couple weeks now, and we've been trying to wean ourselves over to like Hulu or Netflix or some sort of evening entertainment.
Yeah.
Because it's so comfortable to just turn on the TV and have 50 some odd channels, and maybe you'll run across Goodfellas, maybe you'll run across Indiana Jones. You know, those are always cool to just be like, oh, check it out, Jurassic Park. That's like 1, 2, or 3 is always on somewhere.
Yeah, there is something so much more satisfying about stumbling across something great.
Yeah.
Even if it's like, you know, like Point Break for like the 17th time that month.
Yeah. And you just know where you are in the movie. You could pick it up because you've seen it 15 times.
Yeah.
Now I turn on the TV. Man, there's like Airwolf.
Yuck.
Today I saw some weird Brady's show. It was like the Brady Show after the Brady Bunch, not the Brady Brides, the one after that, the drama.
Oh, the one that's like horrifying and what's her name's an alcoholic and...
Yeah, like Greg's got the huge porn stash.
Yeah, it's depressing.
I completely forgot about that Brady Show. And I think Bobby gets into a car accident and gets into a wheelchair.
Dude, it's so bananas. I don't know why they took that direction with that show, but it's so bizarre. I can't believe they're still like playing that on the air.
It's on like deep UHF.
Dude, I'm
free
surprised.
Over it's, the air TV.
It's probably on PAX, right?
Or something, but it just shows that I just never... Oh, man, although I did run across an episode of What's Happening last night. That was awesome.
See, I kind of like... I liked that. Like, I grew up without cable.
Yeah.
And I also watch TV at, like, weird hours. So, I'd be up at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning. I've watched every episode of Cheers, MASH... Coach, like just the weirdest shows come on in the middle of the night. And since there's nothing else on, you just kind of ride it out. Like, I can't tell you how many hours of infomercials I've watched just because that's what was on.
So it's been an interesting adventure, and it does feel good to not pay for TV anymore.
It was crazy though, because I would have times where it's like 4 o'clock in the morning, there used to be a double episode of Happy Days. Two in a row, then you'd get a Laverne and Shirley, and then there'd be like the early morning news. Yeah. But I would just be sitting there at 4 o'clock in the morning watching Happy Days, just like, who else is watching this right now? Does somebody like set their alarm to wake up and watch Happy Days at 4 in the morning?
Just you and Scott Baio.
Yeah, just the saddest life for Scott Baio, him just like watching those Happy Days, just like, ha, killed it on that one.
Yeah, Scott Baio doesn't have a TiVo, he's just going to get up at 4 in the morning to watch.
I love the idea of him just on the couch, waking up at like 3:30, having a coffee to watch himself and just talking in the third person, just like, way to go, Scott, killed it on that joke, boom. Joni does love Chachi.
By the way, there is a slang word for dick in Korean that sounds remarkably like Chachi.
Yeah, and I heard they had to change the name of the show when they brought it over.
Yeah, but just, you know, Koreans got such a kick out of Joni Loves Chachi.
I mean, wouldn't you?
Oh, hell yes. I would watch any show called Joni Loves Dong.
I heard that they lost their virginity to each other on Happy Days, like on the set. And there's like a messed up story about it. Like Erin Moran, I think her name is.
Yeah.
She was like laying on a couch, like in like one of their, like, I don't know, actors hangout rooms.
Yeah.
And Scott Baio got on top of her and he ended up fucking a couch cushion instead of fucking her. I don't know how real that is. It's just one of those like stories that gets around, kind of like the Mr. Belvedere story about sitting on his balls.
Right, right.
What the hell happened to Chip?
What the hell happened to Jackie Chan?
Yeah.
Where did he go?
He's still doing stuff, I'll bet.
It just hit me the other day. You know, I'm like, every so often I'll have a random thought that I got to jot it down for the podcast. And I'm like, oh, this might be fun to discuss. And just out of nowhere, I just like, where the hell did Jackie Chan go?
Dude, I have those thoughts all the time where I'm like, man, I hope that guy's doing all right. You know? Yeah, I don't know. Why, how as a culture did we just become so like sick of Jackie Chan all of a sudden?
Dude, we go off on so many tangents.
I know. It's the beauty of Dave.
All right.
You want to get in some Dave news?
Let's do it.
Joining us now here in Los Angeles, Dave Dave. That's his name, Dave Dave.
You know why I love the news? It's so topical.
So this is pretty awesome. I've got a story about Dave Matthews Band, and I'm not a Dave Matthews Band fan. Are you?
Not really. I mean, I respect what he does, and I get it's for a specific audience.
It's just not. It's not for me. I don't care for the guy's music, but he seems to be an awesome dude, and this makes me respect him even more. Dave Matthews Band raises $1.5 million for charity with their summer tour opener.
Nice.
They launched a tour with a sold-out benefit concert at John Paul Jones Arena in Charlottesville, Virginia. Oh. It raised $1.5 million for local charities. They're on like a 25th anniversary tour, which makes me feel old because I remember when that kind of first broke.
Yeah.
They donated 100% of the net proceeds from the show to local charities.
Dude, Dave Matthews Band, even though I'm not a fan, they're awesome. And I'll tell you why they're awesome. In addition to raising $1.5 million for local charity, they do an annual concert in September. I can't remember what state or city that it's in, but it's called the Labor Dave Concert.
Whoa, yes! That is awesome!
I don't know if it's going to be this September or next September, but one of these Septembers, you and I got to get out to celebrate the Labor Dave show.
Oh, hell yes. Dude, Labor Dave just needs to be like a character on this show. We need to find a dude named Dave who like digs ditches for a living or is like a landscaper and just check in with him weekly. Just like, what's up, Labor Dave? And just be like, well, my back hurts, you know?
Thanks, Labor Dave.
He just says, no idea what a podcast is. Just like, we're going to talk about comic book movies. I thought that was awesome, though. And Dave Matthews Band does have one of the greatest drummers to ever live, Carter Buford. Guy's ridiculous. If you watch that guy, look up clips online, he's nuts.
I don't know a lot of drummers. I know Travis.
From Parker,
yeah, Blink. And then as far back as I go is Bunny Carlos from Cheap Trick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I started off as a drummer, so I mean, that's kind of where I first nerded out was on like Buddy Rich and like these awesome like big band of jazz drummers.
Yeah.
Because they were the guys that first started going nuts with it. And then, you know, after that, you've got like your rock and metal dudes and like Tommy Lee and stuff.
Yeah, I just make out with them because, you know, they always say give the drummer some, so I feel obligated. So give him a little handy and, you know, you gotta hook a guy up.
I know how we're getting backstage at Labor Dave. Like, hey, Carter Butte.
Meet my friend Green Korean. All right, I got a Dave news story. This one came from metroco.uk. David Bowie personally requested his music to be used in Peaky Blinders Series 3.
No way!
David Bowie personally phoned the producers of Peaky Blinders to give them permission to use his music, according to the show's star, Cillian Murphy. In an interview with BBC6 Radio, Murphy said, "The mad thing happened about 6 months ago, I suppose, maybe last autumn. The show creator got a call from David Bowie's people saying Bowie really wanted them to have some of his music used on the show."
That is awesome.
Yeah. So Bowie apparently was a Peaky Blinders fan, and I've never seen it. I've just heard good things about it. So I'm like, I'm dying to check it out.
Me too. I mean, we're in the era of everything's good. So everybody recommends everything to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, now that you're no cable, Peaky Blinders might be worth checking out.
I think it's available on Netflix. I'm hoping
it is. Yeah, it's a Netflix original series, and I've heard it's awesome. It's sort of like a old-timey gang show.
That's cool. I really dug, what is it called? Is it Black Mirror?
Dude, Black Mirror is amazing.
Oh, man.
That is remarkable. The Christmas special with John Hamm is so amazing.
That was crazy good. That was as close to Twilight Zone that I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, Twilight Zone, the great thing about it was it sort of moved things forward socially, and it asked sort of these interesting questions about how we live our lives. And yeah, that show definitely does that. It really feels like it just took the spirit of the Twilight Zone. The episodes are just remarkable. The one with the pig fucking is pretty mind-blowing. That's a great way to start it. But that's definitely not like the flagship. I wouldn't tell like my mom, like, check out Black Mirror, this dude fucks a pig, you know?
Yeah. But it does set the tone for the show.
It
After
does.
You see that when you know you're getting a really dark show.
Yeah. It's going to push the limits, but not that far.
Yeah. Here's the last news story that I have. Barack Obama's retirement plans. The president takes part in a Dave Chappelle type skit. I'm not going to read this, but I'll just explain it. Every year, they do the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and in the final year, they usually put together a funny video to play featuring the president. Did you see this?
No, I didn't.
Okay, then this is interesting, because I remember when Clinton was exiting office, and it was called The Last Days, and it just showed a lame duck president, Bill Clinton, just kind of moping around the office, because he had basically nothing to do, and he would sit in the laundry room and watch the dryer go around and around. And this one plays on the fact that Obama will be staying in Washington after he finishes his presidency, because his daughter still has 2 more years of high school, so he and Michelle are going to stay in Washington. And so he's trying to figure out what is he going to do for the 2 years while they stay in Washington. And it's a funny video. It's really funny.
I don't like this like one bit, by the way. Like it bothers me because I think it's going to like the humor kind of fucks with your legacy as like a world leader. Like there's no footage of like George Washington. Dude's just like portraits of him crossing the Delaware. There's no, like, him making a joke about his, like, shitty teeth, you know? Like, this kind of stuff bothers me a little bit because it's like, Mr. President, you sure you want to fuck with your legacy? Like, first black president, maybe we just cool it with the humor stuff a little bit and just be this larger-than-life character.
But no, this is actually kind of funny. Like, it opens up with Chuck Todd on TV calls him the couch commander in chief, and Obama turns off the TV. He's like, fuck you, Chuck Todd.
I mean, the guy is a funny guy. I just think that if I was advising him, I'd be like, dude, just chill out with the humor, because this stuff's going to exist in perpetuity now. People are going to look back and be like, oh, yeah, Barack Obama, he was first black president, also hilariously funny guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. If I was one of those dudes who was going to be president, I would want to be one of those dudes where they just looked at that painting or just like, damn, that guy was a serious motherfucker and like took care of business, you know?
Yeah, but you know, it's all in the spirit of fun, especially at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I mean, I got a few of his lines from his speech there that are pretty funny, but
yeah, there was a couple of like his Trump joke was killer. I heard that.
Yeah, but the video, here's where I flip my head. He's trying to figure out what to do with his retirement, and he calls in John Boehner, who has retired, former Republican Speaker of the House. And they're sitting there watching a movie, and John Boehner saying, well, you know, since I retired, it's been great. You'll be able to skip through these halls on your last day singing Zippity-Doo-Dah. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, Zippity, yeah. From Song of the South.
Yeah.
And then John Boehner says, or you could go outside and work on your tan.
Oh, my God. Dude.
What the fuck?
Dude.
When do you ever say to a black guy, hey, go outside and work on your tan?
This makes me feel like either maybe John Boehner's not such a bad guy after all, or he's just been dying to say this shit and they finally gave him a chance to. See, I mean, if I was John Boehner, there's no way in hell I would say that shit on camera.
Maybe he didn't know.
Yeah. Or, I mean, maybe he's got a good sense of humor, too. You know?
That's some edgy shit. That was played for humor, that is some edgy shit.
Well, I mean, there is that thing about, you know, he put it out there. And if you're truly a racist dude, do you want to be seen like you would think you would want to cover it up more, like a guy who like secretly in his heart, like just it was a super racist. You would think that guy would be like, nope, I can't let the world see this, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. To me, it makes me think maybe Boehner's an all right dude.
So, I mean, I don't know. I just thought that was crazy. I saw it. I can't believe like people aren't making a bigger deal out of it because I've heard nothing about this in the media.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just me. But I thought that was hugely inappropriate to have. First of all, for him to say. Second of all, for them to write. Third, to put in a video and to post it online. All those things should not have happened. It's too, I don't know. Maybe I'm just being too sensitive.
I think maybe it's just being overshadowed in the news by the presidential race. I mean, we've got a dude who's just like straight up said, like, I got a big dick running for president. Every day, Trump has something amazingly hilarious to say.
So here's Obama's joke from the correspondence dinner about Trump. He says, there's one area where Trump's experience could be invaluable. Closing down Guantanamo. Trump knows a thing or two about running a waterfront property into the ground.
Dude, you got a pretty good Obama impression. It's not bad. It's a bummer we didn't start this show 4 years ago. 8 years ago, God. What was his, I like the one joke I heard about him going out and getting him some sweet Tubmans.
Okay, this is about Hillary making a private speech on Wall Street, kind of poking fun at her. If this material goes well, I'll use it at Goldman Sachs next year. Earn me some serious Tubmans.
That's good. That's good.
That's a great joke.
I'm pretty stoked about her getting on some currency.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all for it.
I know there's a lot of people that have shit on it a little bit, though, with you know, her essentially being bought and sold with that currency.
Oh, yeah, but that's just people shitting on it because they don't know what else to do. All they do is shit on things. Man, just go out and celebrate the fact that we have an African-American woman on currency. Let's just be happy about that. That's cool.
Yeah, and she made it to the paper because, you know, when they throw you on a dollar coin, everybody's going to be disappointed when they get you. Like, fuck, do you have any, can I get a one? Like, people hated those dollar coins.
Oh,
once
yeah.
once you make it to paper, you're good, even if they put her on the dollar bill. But she's getting on the 20.
That's awesome, man.
Although, I think so, too. But, you know.
Although I think Mikey Whitfield made a great joke on Twitter, something about the sad day is when someone buys a vial of crack with a Tubman.
Oh, dude, that's going to happen. People are going to roll her up and snort coke with her, too. But, oh, shit.
But that's just a great joke. Let's hear it for Mikey Whitfield, everybody.
That is a good joke, but yeah. Oh, man, I didn't think about it like that. You guys, go break the Tubman if you're going to do that. If you're going to buy some crack, do it with a couple of tens.
No, you can't do it with Hamilton's. Hamilton's cool now, too. You got to get four Lincolns.
But he freed the slaves.
You know what? Get rid of those Sacagaweas. You don't like them anyway.
Yeah, go trade it in. Get 20 Sacagaweas and buy your crack with that. Well, I mean, it's going to have Andrew Jackson on one side and Harriet Tubman on the other. So I'll guarantee you at least like at one point somebody's going to flip it over so it's Jackson face up.
What's the etiquette if you're snorting coke? Do you do it with Jackson out or Tubman out?
Yeah, I mean, I think Jackson on the inside so that, well, I don't know. You don't want Tubman looking at you. That one's tough.
They should give her a really judgmental, disapproving look.
Oh, dude, we should do that with all money. It should just be like them just looking like sad or just like Lincoln covering his eyes. Benjamin Franklin's just got his head in his hands. Just like
No, but you got on one side, you got the happy Benjamin. On the other side, you have the sad, shameful Benjamin. So depending if you're doing coke, you just roll it a certain way. Or just a judgmental Benjamin with like the glasses down, him looking over the top of his frames at you.
Dude, I like this idea of judgmental money. This is a good one. This is good. I like this a lot. Then you get it out and it's just, I mean, I swear, like, if money had a picture of my kid on it, I would like rethink every single purchase. I'd be like, maybe I don't feel like a Milky Way. Maybe I'll save this, buy some toys.
Yeah, you know what? I think we're onto something. You go to pay for a hooker, you got five, or not five.
Cheap hookers.
I don't know what a hooker goes for. I was going to say five Benjamins, five sad Benjamins looking right back at you. But is that what a hooker goes for? Is that too much? 500?
500. I mean, I think like I watched an episode of Cops and there was a girl that got busted for giving $10 hand jobs out.
Oh, okay. So you
and this was like in the 90s. So I think a hooker can cost you anything from like 10 bucks up to whatever the Bunny Ranch costs, like in the thousands. I think five Benjamins, you'd get yourself like a nice middle of the road hooker, right?
No, here's how it works, man. Okay, so you get Hamilton crying. So that way, if you're getting a $10 hand job, that's appropriate. But a happy Benjamin, happy Franklin, because they're paying $500 for a hooker. You're doing okay.
Even $100, you're getting out of the like living on crack street, like tweaker hooker that's just cruising out in front of the motel room. Like, you know, a $100 hooker, that's a motel room transaction. That's not in your car in the parking lot of an Arby's, you know? Holy shit, we're never going to talk about Dave's this week.
All right, let's wrap up the Dave news.
That was still Dave news.
I'm James Hatton.
I'm Podcast Rob.
And we're from the Something Something cast. You can find us on Stitcher, iTunes, or Google Play Music.
Also, you can find us on somethingcast.com, on Twitter, at STSTcast, and also hashtag Podern Family, where all fine podcasts can be found. Hey, Hatton.
Yeah, Rob?
You know what today is?
No. What is today?
Today is the Dave we cut a promo for Green Korean and Octopus Caveman's new podcast, The Dave Podcast.
Oh, shit. Is that today?
It is indeed. You know, in this Dave and age of podcasting, it can be hard to find your own niche.
Yeah, but these guys spent Dave after Dave working their creative muscles to stand apart from every Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Yep, and it shows. I could listen to these guys all Dave, every Dave.
Any Dave. They're waiting for us to wrap up, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're probably wondering if we're just going to sit here and ramble all damn Dave.
I see what you did there.
Your guide to cinema etiquette from the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast.
Tip 21.
If your portable telephone rings whilst you're enjoying a film, it is a dick move to answer your telephone and speak at a normal volume during the screening. Instead, exit the cinema and return the call in private.
It should have been off anyway, fuckhead!
For more useful cinema etiquette, join Paul and Wayne on the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast at Podomatic on iTunes or your favorite podcast app.
Okay, where are we going next?
Let's get into our featured Dave.
So this week, we decided to take on the movie Dave, the 1993 classic directed by Ivan Reitman. Oh, man, this is such a charming film. I had such a good time rewatching this.
Dude, me too. I remembered liking this movie, but rewatching it, I realized that I love this movie.
It's so optimistic as opposed to a lot of the other political movies that have come out in the recent years. They're typically cynical. This one is hopeful.
I was worried it wasn't going to hold up well, being from 93. That's like right at the cusp, you know, movies from 93, not all of them are holding up super well. I was really happy to revisit this and have it hold up as well as it did.
It holds up, but I think it also holds up for you and I because we remember the 90s. And some of these jokes that are in this movie are set around the climate of Bill Clinton being accused of being a womanizer.
Yes, there is a lot of that in there. And I think looking it up now, I am completely wrong about movies from the 90s not holding up. Dude, I got to give you this list of other movies from 1993. 1993 is like like a golden year of cinema. This is nuts. Jurassic Park, Groundhog Day, The Fugitive, Schindler's List, Mrs. Doubtfire, Philadelphia, Demolition Man, Tombstone, True Romance, Rudy, Dazed and Confused.
All right. Okay. So 93 was solid.
This was a good year for movies.
Yeah. I didn't realize that 93 was so good.
Neither did I. I just decided to look up top movies in 93 and was just blown away. All of those, I think, hold up super well.
Yeah. I just remember that was the year that Spielberg pulled off like the back-to-back home runs with Jurassic Park and Schindler's List.
Yeah, and it went in the two very different directions, you know. Jurassic Park was very Spielberg of the time, and then Schindler's List, one of his more serious films, clearly. But
okay, but we're getting away from Dave.
We're so far away from Dave.
Let's get back to Dave.
So watching this, I realized that Sigourney Weaver is a beautiful woman who suffers from having a horrible haircut. Have you noticed that she looks, I look back at these movies and she looks awful in these movies. And then you see her in Galaxy Quest with like normal hair and you're like, oh, wow, she's looking all right. She's a beautiful woman who just has a terrible haircut choice.
You know, that might be it, because I always thought that she looked a little mannish.
Yeah.
But you're right. She's hot in Galaxy Quest.
She is. And it's one of her later roles. Like, that's her as like a hot older lady.
Yeah.
She was a young lady in Aliens, and she looks like shit because she's got the man cut.
Yeah. But this movie, she's delightful.
She
pulls off the romantic comedy very well.
It's a little odd because she sort of has this romantic connection with a man who looks exactly like her like husband in a coma.
Okay, yeah, weird. Weird.
There's some odd stuff in here, but overall, I think this was wonderful. And Ving Rhames is so good in this because he's serious but likable.
And he has hair.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that was real. I kept watching thinking maybe it was a wig. But it's just, I thought it was crazy because he's one of these guys who can do a lot with a little. And I don't think he gets credit for that. But if you watch him in this and then you watch him in like Pulp Fiction, very serious roles, but very differently serious. You know, in this he's likable. And then, you know, in Pulp Fiction, you're like, don't mess with Marcellus Wallace.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's hard to pull off, to pull off minimal effort, kind of serious guy, and twist it one way and make it a likable character and another way and make it a hard ass.
Oh, and Ben Kingsley. Does that man ever age?
Dude, he does not.
That dude has sold his soul to the devil because he looks exactly the same in 93 that he does today.
Yeah.
And the other thing about Ben Kingsley, I swear to God, I don't know. Is he British or is he American?
He's British.
Is he really?
Yeah. He's fantastic, though.
Yeah, he's great. He's great in this movie.
It's great to see him not do something super heavy either. This movie, I mean, it's got its serious moments, but this is a pretty lighthearted movie overall.
Yeah. Oh, and a nice little early appearance from Laura Linney.
Yeah, Laura Linney's in this. Bonnie Hunt is in this.
Bonnie Hunt, where was she?
She was the tour guide.
Oh, we're walking, we're stopping. Yeah. Okay, right. Okay, got it.
I love Bonnie Hunt so much. I think she's the best.
Yeah. So should we go through, briefly run through the plot?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we should just give people the overall deal.
Yeah, I mean, basically the plot of Dave is you have the president of the United States who's kind of a dick, and he needs a stand-in to come in and take his place just for a public appearance, one quick public appearance. So they find a guy named Dave Kovic. He's a little local town guy, big heart. He works at a temp agency finding people jobs. So the Secret Service go and pick up Dave. They bring him in so the president of the United States can go have an affair with his mistress. So Dave stands in for one appearance, waves to the crowd, gets in the car, drives off. Well, the president has a stroke, and so now Dave has to fill in as the president of the United States. And that's the basic plot of the movie.
Yeah. Charles Grodin, who I love, is in this and just great.
Oh, they got a great scene with Charles Grodin where the president of the United States, which Dave is filling in for, wants to save a homeless shelter. So he needs to pull together $650 million out of the budget. So he calls his buddy, the accountant, to come into the White House. And he just tells him, dude, I need you to help me to cut the budget.
I noted when I was watching this that Charles Grodin is the Cameron to Kevin Kline's Ferris.
Oh. Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I see that.
But I love Grodin. Man, I wish that guy had done more.
You know, getting back to that budget scene when he's actually cutting the budget with his senior staff, the way that he cuts the budget is great because it just makes a nice little comment on stupid spending by our government. On, you know, they're spending money on things like, oh, this is a program that makes people feel good about their cars. And
yeah,
so the president says, well, do we need a program for people to feel good about cars they already bought, or do we need a homeless shelter?
Yeah, that was brilliant. He was like, well, I'm sure that's very important, but would you rather that or an 8-year-old girl sleep on the streets tonight? Because yeah. I don't want to tell him. Do you want to tell him? That was a brilliant little scene.
Yeah, so you got Do Good Dave with the power of the presidency using it to do good things, up to the point where he starts a new jobs bill where he's trying to get his new motto is, I want to get a new job for every American citizen. Now, the antagonist of this movie is played,
Frank Langella.
Yeah, Frank Langella.
Who will always be Skeletor to me. He's great in Robot and Frank, too.
Oh, that's one movie that I do want to see.
It's fun.
Yeah, because every movie that I've seen him in, he's the biggest prick.
He is. He's just got a great dick face, doesn't he?
Oh, he's got an awesome dick face. He has resting bitch face.
He does.
And he plays a great villain because his political, like his goals in this movie is he wants to become the vice president so that way he could get rid of Dave and then become the president. It's very House of Cards.
It is.
Yeah.
Go with me on this, but I just had the weirdest thought about Frank Langella.
Yeah.
If I had, like, if I could pick one person to watch eat a shit sandwich, I would pick him because not only would he have the best, like, shit sandwich face, he would also be able to speak very eloquently about why he didn't like it and exactly what the experience was doing to him. This is undignified.
I thought you were going to say you would pick Frank Langella because his expression wouldn't change. Because he would already have the shit sandwich face.
Okay. He's got a killer voice, so it would just be so great, too. Just like, this sandwich doesn't smell very good. I'm not looking forward to this. I feel this is beneath me.
All right, what would Frank Langella sound like if he had to pick up his keys out of a bowl of poop?
Like, I'm going to need a lot of Purell once I'm finished with this. This consistency is displeasing.
Okay, all right. Frank Langella just threw up all over down the front of his shirt. What does he sound like?
I apologize for what just happened here. This is quite embarrassing. I need to clean myself up. I shall recuse myself of this evening. Dude, I love this. Just a deadpan Frank Langella just doing disgusting things. He's one of those guys who, if he has diarrhea, he wouldn't say he had diarrhea. He would leave and just be like, I've got an upset stomach.
Let me hear Frank Langella say that he has to go to the bathroom to blow some mud.
I need to excuse myself to go to the lavatory and blow some mud.
That one wasn't for the audience. That one was for me. Thanks, buddy. All right, so getting back to Dave. So the movie ends with Kevin Klein and, by the way, I forgot to mention that he and Sigourney Weaver, at some point Sigourney Weaver figures out that Dave is not her husband. And so she and Dave kind of start to hit it off a little bit. And so the movie ends with Kevin Klein giving a speech to the Joint House of Congress, and he's saying that there was a scandal and it's completely my fault. Oh, which I forgot one big plot point. He figures out that the vice president is a great guy and worthy of becoming president. So having established that, he's giving this speech and Dave pretends to have a stroke in front of the media, in front of Joint House of Congress. And so they wheel Dave out on a gurney. They switch his body with the actual president's body into the, oh, by the, oh, Should I have given a spoiler alert for a movie from 93?
No, screw them. If you haven't seen Dave by now, too bad.
Sorry.
Yeah, it wouldn't steal from the enjoyment of the film, I don't think.
Okay, so they wheel him into the ambulance, and Dave switches places with him, and Dave walks off into the night, goes back to his hometown, and runs for a local office, and Sigourney Weaver joins him, and they live happily ever after.
See, this is so bizarre to me, though, because she's just, what, going to be with a guy who looks exactly like her old husband?
He's a better version of her husband.
I guess that would just be weird, though, dude. Like, you can't do that. And then he's running for office. Like, why is it that he's just not in everyday life just like, you look exactly like the president? Or just random people just like, excuse me, Mr. President. At one point when he's pretending to be the president, he gets pulled over by a cop, and the cop isn't even like, hey, you look exactly like the president, and the White House is 2 miles from here. Like, isn't that weird?
Yeah, but he's driving like a Volvo, and, you know, he's dressed in plain clothes. He's not in a suit. And the guy kind of gives him one of those looks like, you kind of look like the president, but he's able to pull it off that he's not because he acts so goofy.
Yeah, I think it's maybe just a context thing. You see him in a tuxedo on TV and he looks like the president. You see him in a Volvo in a sweater.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a dude that kind of looks like the president.
Yeah. And also, there is a nice little subplot with Ving Rhames acting as his personal Secret Service
agent. Dude, that stuff is delightful.
Yeah. Oh, man, this movie, I touched on it just a little bit before, and I looked up a few of the other political comedies and dramas that have come out. There's Wag the Dog, Bullworth, Primary Colors, The Campaign, Head of State. All of these movies take a crack at the presidency or government, but none of them do it with as much hope and optimism as Dave. And I think that's what makes Dave such a great movie.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's 94% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Deservedly.
Yeah. Which also, by the way, it really brings into focus the speech that he gives at the end when he's talking to Congress. That speech, you know what? I'm going to play a little bit of it right here.
You see, I forgot that I was hired to do a job for you, and that was just a temp job at that. I forgot that I had 250 million people who were paying me to make their lives a little bit better, and I didn't live up to my part of the bargain. I think there are certain things you should expect from your president. I ought to care more about you than I do about me. I ought to care more about what's right than I do about what's popular. I ought to be willing to give up this whole thing for something I believe in. Because if I'm not, if I'm not, if I'm not, then maybe I don't belong here in the first place.
That speech really kind of makes you look around at the two clown candidates that we have now running for president, and it makes you sad. And just him saying that he forgot that he's supposed to be a servant of the people or something like that. And not there to serve himself, but there to serve the people. And you look at the two people who are running, and they are just there to serve themselves.
I highly recommend this. This is a super great movie.
You will not regret having watched this movie. It's not a movie where you laugh all the way through, but you feel good pretty much the whole movie. And the score really helps with that.
I was going to mention that. This has a score that is better than the movie should be. You know, like, usually for like a comedy, even like a lighthearted or sort of feel good comedy, you wouldn't have a score that's this good. This is a remarkable score.
It is a great score. And I just thought this could be kind of fun. Well, you know what? Before I do that, I got a couple of fun Dave tidbits.
All right.
All right. So the set of the Oval Office for Dave was built on the Warner Brothers lot and has become a permanent part of Warner Brothers. And so many times when you see an Oval Office scene, they're using the set of Dave.
Oh, wow. So that's probably the West Wing Oval Office and all that.
I'm not sure about the West Wing. I know the Pelican Brief was shot there. Hot Shots Part Deux.
Oh, the best hot shots.
Absolute Power. Basically, Warner Brothers movies where you need an Oval Office, they use the Dave set.
That's awesome to know. Every time I see an Oval Office now, I'm gonna think it's either the Dave set or the one that's at the Nixon Library.
Yeah, yeah. You know something else that I found out?
Huh?
Set of Gilligan's Island, the lagoon, still there.
No way! It's on the lot?
Yeah.
Okay, because I know there's some stuff that was on Fanning Island, but it's just there, just that lagoon is just on the lot.
Yeah, they were saying that as some of the other permanent sets that are there on Warner Brothers lot, Gilligan's Island.
Man, I love me some Gilligan's Island.
I know you do. This was almost a Gilligan's Island podcast.
Oh, I wanted to talk about Oliver Stone.
Oh!
How great is his cameo?
He has probably the best cameo of the 90s.
It's him and Larry King, and he's talking about this conspiracy theory that the president after the stroke, you can tell in his face that he looks different.
Yeah, and this is right about the time JFK came out, and so everyone thought that Oliver Stone was kind of a conspiracy nut for thinking that there was more than one gunman on the hill.
Yeah, and I think it's just another one of those moves where you do, Dave, and you kind of poke fun at yourself. It makes me think like you're an all right guy. Oliver Stone's probably got a decent sense of humor, probably an okay dude.
Yeah, and also a whole bunch of Washington cameos in this movie.
Yeah, and I think probably because it's sort of a positive message in it that you could get, you know, Republicans and Democrats. End of the day, everybody loves the country and wants to do a good job, right?
Yeah, yeah. Although the movie is very biased because whenever they had a Democrat on screen, they were saying how much they liked Dave. Whenever they had a Republican on screen, they're like, Dave's such a dick.
Well, there's one guy who's a senator and they're talking about the jobs plan. And they're like, what do you think about it? And his response is like, sounds like my plan that I came up with 4 years ago when I ran for president. And I need to look that guy up because I'm just curious if he was just like throwing in a little shameless plug for himself.
God, was that Chuck Schumer who said that?
No, I think it was Paul something. I don't know. I mean, I'm so not, I'm like apolitical. I'm a dude who just doesn't want to pay attention.
I was hardcore political for a while, and then I just got tired of following the bullshit because both the left and the right spew the same amount of bullshit and they both call each other on it. And depending on where your personality fits, you're either going to believe, you know, the Republicans or the Democrats. You know, people who are kind of into order believe in Republicans. The people who have big hearts believe in the Democrats. For me, I happen to be both. And so I could look at both sides and say, you know what, Republicans, Democrats, both of you guys are full of shit. Fuck you, Hillary. Fuck you, Trump.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, to me, it just seems like everything is a little bit bigger than just pick a team out of two teams. That's, yeah, it's not a sport, you know. It needs to not be a sport.
That's how it works. You know, whoever we get, if we get Hillary, we'll pretty much get a Republican House and Senate. If we get Trump, we'll get a Democrat House and Senate, and that's going to be the counterbalance, and we'll get another 4 to 8 years of nothing really happening.
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
It's a really pessimistic point of view and why I enjoyed the movie Dave, because it gives you hope that maybe someday, somewhere down the line, we'll get a do-gooder in office. You
know? I didn't expect to get political, but this seemed like the perfect episode to kind of delve into that a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. If not here, where?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of this podcast. We're going to go everywhere, man. We're going to go into politics, religion. We'll go to light, fluffy stuff. We'll talk about sad money. We'll go everywhere. And
sad money sounds like the worst rapper name ever. He combines the worlds of like emo music with rap. He's just like the bummer rapper.
You know, that's the name that Will Smith's son should have, Sad Money.
Sad Money. Yeah. It's just like rich kid bummer, like rich kid blues, but raps, you know?
Oh, have you heard his music? God, what is his name? What's Will Smith's kid name? Jaden Pinkett Smith.
Is it, did they hyphenate the names?
No, I don't think so. I just kind of gave it to him. Jaden Smith. He's the saddest rapper in the world.
Is he really?
Oh man, he's the, hold on.
It's the wannabe ghetto kid. Yes, I'm about to level with all of my homies, all of my fellows. It's crazy. Man, you messing with the misfits. Man, I doubt that we gon' settle it. That's because lately I've been sipping on a soda and I'm chilling with a hottie. And she's really into yoga, my face.
And that's where we go. We go from politics to Jaden Smith's sad raps.
Sad Money is amazing. Oh, that's funny. I had no idea.
Oh my God, it's the saddest shit ever.
That kid needs to cheer up.
if only he could become president, then he could be the face of the $20 bill.
One day.
All right. So should we wrap that up and get into Dave of the Week?
Yeah, let's do Dave of the Week.
All right, so you have your you're ready for the Dave off?
I've got an interesting Dave, yeah.
Okay, do you want to go first?
This Dave is just a fun Dave. Okay. He hasn't tweeted in about 2 years.
Okay.
he's at BartFart718, and he's Dave.Bart. Okay. My favorite thing is his location is 5 minutes away. It's just the funniest thing you could do for a location.
All right. Promising. Okay.
And it's very, very bizarre stuff. Here's one of my favorites from Dave. This is classic Dave. This is from 2013. It always sounds better when followed by a name of a famous dead person, Aristotle. let's see.
That's a solid tweet from a guy who's at BartFart.
Dude, zero likes, zero retweets.
Okay.
It's a bummer. Like, this is like an overlooked Dave. He might still be tweeting if we had paid attention to these tweets. Okay. Hashtag emoticons equal Decepticons. Oh, this is sad that he didn't get any play, really. He just was so overlooked by Twitter. Who got a new phone and is mad thirsty for text messages? This guy. He's thirsty for text messages. He's saying, love me. Look at this solid stuff I'm giving you, Twitter. Come give me some likes. Give me some Twitter love.
You got a good Dave. You got a solid Dave to compete against.
It's a depressing Dave, though, because we didn't notice him. He was there asking for us, and nobody paid attention to this poor Dave.
He might just be waiting like Rapunzel in the castle. We just need to go to him and wait, wake him up. No, that's not Rapunzel. I'm mixing my Disney metaphors.
All right. This is the last one I'll share. It's political, and it's from 2012. So we're going back about 4 years. Here we go. Obama's performance was disappointing. Romney shined. Wonder if the Obamas will still get some anniversary action tonight.
All right. That's a pretty good Dave.
I'm disappointed I didn't follow this Dave years ago.
I'm kind of a little bit scared that I think you may have won the Dave off. I got a Dave. I went dark. I went with at racist Dave.
Oh, no. Yeah. I went with a black Dave and you went with a racist Dave.
Who, by the way, claims that his name is David Duke?
I'm guessing not the real David Duke.
Probably not, but his Twitter picture is of David Duke in KKK robes.
I don't want to follow this Dave. I want to make sure that I'm not following anybody that does follow this Dave.
Well, some of the things that racist Dave has tweeted out. You know, I'm going to do this in the Dave Chappelle white guy voice just yes. Because I think I need the help. Having a barbecue and doing white people stuff. Hashtag Happy Memorial Day.
Wait, let me do that one as Frank Langello.
Okay.
Having a barbecue and doing white people stuff.
It just sounds right. Okay. Okay, hold on. I'm going to tell you what it is, but I'm going to edit it out, and I would like for you to repeat it as Frank Langella.
Frank Langella reads racist tweets.
Okay, I'm going to edit this part out. Okay, we're back. So Frank Langella, would you please read that racist tweet?
If the Chinese do ever take over America, one thing's for sure, they'll get that border wall built.
That one's, I don't know how racist that is. I mean, they built a wall.
Okay, one more racist tweet from at racist Dave. Slavery, the original get her done. Hashtag racists.
Oh my God. Oh man.
Okay, so the obvious reason why I picked Racist Dave to be the Dave of the Week is to point out how silly and stupid racism is. And just to further that point, this is my summation for the case for following Racist Dave. I was curious who are the kind of people that Racist Dave would follow. Racist Dave follows racist grandma.
Whoa.
Racist Uncle Bob.
He follows my uncle?
He follows racist Kyle, racist Larry. He also follows Max McFluffy, and it's the icon of this cute little St. Bernard puppy, but that puppy goes by at racist puppy.
Oh, God.
Basically, he just follows all kinds of racist. Racist Billy, racist baby. Oh, my God, that's racist. He just follows anything racist.
Oh, my God. You know what? Expand your worldview, Racist Dave.
He follows at Fred Phelps.
Really? Oh, dude, if you follow a Phelps, that's an instant unfollow.
No, I think he's doing these ironically.
Yeah, probably.
These are all ironic follows. I think the guy who started this at Racist Dave Twitter account is doing it for the same reason why I brought it up. He's trying to shine a light on how stupid and ignorant racist people are. And for that reason, I say we follow at Racist Dave.
I can't do it, man. I'm following Bart Fart.
We can't split the vote, man. We got to go with one or the other. But I will concede. I think you have the better Dave to follow. I think even though he's not at any kind of Dave, he's at Bart Fart.
Yeah, I mean, he's Dave Bart.
All right, so I'll give it to you. I think you won the first official Dave off.
Dave Bart won the first racist. Won the first Dave off. That Aristotle tweet was solid.
You know what? I take it back. I think we all win.
Yeah, we do. Everybody except for Fred Phelps.
All right, so we're asking you, the listeners of Dave, to follow at BartFart718. Please follow, favorite, and retweet, and let's make his week.
I got blocked by, what's her name, Phelps, the lady.
Shirley Phelps?
Yeah.
That's a feather in your cap, my friend. Good for you.
It is. Like I used to just like get in the middle of her arguments with people on Twitter. God, it was so long ago, man. I don't remember what happened. Like she was railing at somebody and I just hit her with like, I used to love to see people fighting on Twitter and I'd just pop in and be like, whoa, guys, agree to disagree. You know, just get into the middle and do something like that. And she blocked me for that. And it was just like, you know, something stupid. But I was like, all right, no more playtime with Shirley.
And just for the people who don't know who the Phelps family is, they're the ones, the God Hates Fags people. They're the ones who go and protest everything to get their name in the press. Really, they're just looking for attention. And they protest military funerals. And they're just a horrible, horrible group of people.
You know what everybody should do? Everybody should go find Shirley Phelps on Twitter and then just tweet at her and just be like, what's this Jesus guy all about? Or just retweet racist Dave things at her. She will find them delightful.
I say send her some dick pics.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. We got to get that going.
One thing at a time, buddy. One thing at a time. Let's build up Bart Fart first, and then we'll make our way to Shirley Phelps. And that was our Dave of the Week.
We just learned the days of the week.
So we got our first Dave off. That was good.
Congratulations, buddy. I gotta bring my A game. I don't know what happened here.
You went with racist Dave. Nobody wants racist Dave to win.
So what do you want to do for our next Dave for next week?
Let's do Dave Foley.
Excellent, Dave. Huge fan of Kids in the Hall. Huge fan of Dave Foley's.
Me too. I think, you know, I've just finished rewatching all of the Kids in the Hall stuff. I probably just need to revisit some news radio. I haven't watched Brain Candy in a while. Have you?
It's been a few years, but I did just start rewatching News Radio. And you know what? That show is good from episode one.
It really is. Phil Hartman is just the best in there. So I watched that maybe about 5-6 years ago. They had it all on Netflix, and I got into it a little bit. Didn't finish the whole thing, but I was sort of revisiting it and just like, this was just a solid show.
I'm looking forward. Yeah, Dave Foley, awesome.
Yeah, let's get into it. That'll be great. I always think about, when I think about Dave, we'll have to try and find the clip. He used to do the sort of testimonials in Kids in the Hall, but my favorite was like, I'm Dave, and I'm the guy with a positive attitude about menstruation.
I don't remember that. I'm gonna have to dig out my Kids in the Hall DVDs and give those a watch this week. Yeah, that's the you know what, that's the trouble with doing this, Dave. He has such a huge body of work. It's going to be tough to bone up for this episode, but I'm down for it.
It's going to make you feel so much better about not having cable.
Yeah, yeah. Spending the whole week watching Kids in the Hall news radio, maybe A Bug's Life.
Oh, and I forgot he was in that. I'm going to have to check out his IMDb, and we'll just jump around and get into Dave Foley.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. Sweet, okay, awesome. Dave Foley next week.
It's going to be a good one.
All right, man. Had another excellent time. Thank you for hanging out.
Oh, I love it. This has been my favorite thing all week. I love this episode a lot. Frank Langella reading racist tweets. I just need to figure out a way how to make that happen every week.
We would also like to thank you, the listener, for tuning in to Dave. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can reach us over on Twitter at Dave Podcast. You can also find us at DavePodcast.com. Our email address is Dave@DavePodcast.com. Okay, buddy. So I'm the Green Korean.
I'm Octopus Caveman.
Like sands through the hourglass, these are the Daves of our lives.
We are Daves he knows, he knows. We are the Daves he knows.
These are the Daves I know, I know.
We are the Daves he knows.
Now these are the Daves.